Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael, good morning to you. I hope you're keeping well. We will get to the Boris Johnson farce in a few moments. But first of all, I just want to get your reaction. Sinn Féin are confirming that they will take a motion of no confidence in the government. They confirmed the move after a decision was taken this morning. They say they'll bring the motion before the Dáil next week. And they've challenged independence not to support the current Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Green government, which has lost its technical majority this week after Fine Gael TD Joe McHugh from Donegal voted against the MICA redress scheme. What are your views on this? Will this have any effect? I doubt it very much. But what are your thoughts, Michael?
Well, it's politics, Tressa. And, you know, the motion lodged this morning at 9 o'clock, debated next week before the summer break, the government will win it. That's the first thing to say. There will be no general election. There will be no posters dusted down in Kilgarvan, Kilkeen, Kiel or Tralee. Tressa, you won't be running around to press conferences and presenting programmes based on a general election. It won't happen. Okay, technically, the government has lost its majority. It's now down to 79. They'd need 80. That's out of 159 TDs. But the reality is that those that this affected, if you like, on the government benches, are highly unlikely to vote to support a motion of no confidence from the main opposition party, Sinn Féin. And in fact, if you look at some of the people who are disaffected, Joe McHugh, for instance, voted against the government this week on the MICA funding. Now, he's from Donegal. It's a hugely important, hugely emotional issue there. I can't see him voting against the government on a confidence issue. Critically, the Green Party TDs, who had the whip removed to them from there because of a vote on the proposed relocation of the National Maternity Hospital.
And we're talking Patrick about Hogan. Two TDs, yes.
That's right, two TDs, Patrick Costello and Nessa Hogan. Now, they're whinging at the moment that the Green Party whip hasn't been in touch with them, but I mean, that motion wasn't fully confirmed until this morning. They will support the government. There's another bottom line here, Tressa. Nobody on the government benches wants a general election. And I would say nobody on the opposition benches wants a general election. Even I would say Sinn Féin doing well in the polls, but I think they would figure this is not a great time to be going into government or going to the poll, going to the people asking for a mandate.
Really? Because if I were in Sinn Féin, if I were Mary Lou MacDonald, and I'm looking at those polls that consistently put the party well ahead of other parties in terms of support, I would be just chomping at the bit of the prospect of a general election.
Yes, on paper, that's the way it looks. But look at the political reality of this. Sinn Féin moves a motion of no confidence when people are up to their neck in a cost of living crisis, in some cases also dealing with a dysfunctional housing sector and a dysfunctioning health services. And I'm not too sure that there's any public appetite for an election. So if Sinn Féin brought down the government, and it won't happen, but if they did, and then went to the people, they might get a negative response.
What do listeners think of that? Let us know, 083 300 3300. Now, Michael, do you think there's any significance in what Joe McHugh said to his local radio station, Highland Radio up in Donegal? He says he'll be looking at every Dáil vote in the future as an individual. Is he putting down a marker, or would you still hold the view that he will tend to remain loyal to the government?
I think he was putting down a marker, but he will remain loyal to the government. And I think he will obviously look at the merit or otherwise of each individual vote. But I can't see Joe McHugh voting against the government after a lifetime in Fine Gael, voting against the government and bringing down his own party-led government. I don't see it happening.
And he's not running again at the next general election. That's a key factor as well.
Exactly. He's not running again. He's retiring from politics for the next election. He doesn't want his legacy within Fine Gael to be the man who helped bring down a government in which Fine Gael was a participant at a very, very difficult time for the economy.
Michael, you've been looking at the figures in the Dáil, and you say that even if those two Fine Gael TDs, Patrick Costello and Nasa Harrigan, or indeed Joe McHugh, decided to vote against the government on other issues, and you would say that even if they did lose support, they'd still win the day. You were saying, will you explain to us about the position of the Ceann Comhairle if there was a tie?
Yeah, you see, in a doomsday scenario, Tressa, where you have a tied vote. It's a long tradition. It's the tradition that the Ceann Comhairle of the day votes with the government. So if you were in a situation where there was an equality of votes, the Ceann Comhairle would rescue the government. Also, if you look at some of the independents, I know Michael Healy-Ray has made it clear he won't be supporting this government. He can't because of the cost of living crisis. I think that might apply to others. But a dark horse in this would be the independent TD for Tipperary, Michael Lowry. I think he would support the government. He's still a kind of semi-detached member of Fine Gael, even though he's an independent TD. Sean Canny, maybe, I don't know.
Dennis Nocton?
Perhaps Dennis Nocton, exactly. Former Fine Gael TD. Although, what is happening now, which makes it more...
And Minister.
Indeed, and Minister, high-profile Minister. What makes it more difficult now, of course, for TDs is that at their clinics every weekend, they're getting people in complaining about the cost of living. And this is putting huge pressure on TDs. Nevertheless, and again, our listeners may contradict me on this, but I think there's no public mood at all at the moment for an election. There's a public mood for the government delivering on the cost of living, housing and health.
Now, Michael, when we come back, we'll be talking with Boris Johnson. And while we're having a couple of minutes pause, you might ponder over this. Cathy Newman, broadcaster with Channel 4, has been writing, and she pointed out that Boris Johnson was born in New York. So if he wanted to take up a political career in the United States, he could run for president there. Have him all over that. And we'll return with the misadventures of Boris Johnson after these.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
So, Michael, what do you make of what Cathy Newman pointed out, Cathy Newman from Channel 4, that Boris Johnson, if he ever wanted a second act in politics, he could get involved in politics in the United States?
Well, I have to say, Tressa, my first reaction was I nearly choked on my cup of Barry's tea, because I tell you, I didn't know that, actually. Yeah. It's news to me. I didn't know that he was born in America. And, of course, he could. By the way, I wouldn't underestimate anything this fellow might get up to. He's a bluffer. He would fit in very well in the Trump camp. So a frightening scenario could be Trump president after the next election, Boris Johnson vice president. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but I suspect what he will do is this. He will start writing again for the Daily Telegraph, usual diatribe, and he'll go on the lecture circuit, which apparently for former prime ministers is very lucrative. Mrs. Johnson will probably set up as a consultant on expensive, if rather dodgy looking wallpaper.
Michael, all this, what will it mean for Ireland now that Boris Johnson has said that he will resign? Of course, he wants to stay on a number of months, and some within the Tory party and quite a number of people would be concerned that he is still in a position in the views of many to wreak havoc. And I appreciate there are people who support Boris Johnson, but I think we can objectively agree that certainly his tenure for this country has not been good. What does it all mean for Ireland and the implications for the North in particular, the Northern Ireland Protocol? What is your reading on it? Are we just likely to be succeeded by a Tory leader who will be just as hardline on the North and on Brexit?
Yeah, it's hugely important for Ireland. This is a man, by the way, who damaged the Good Friday Agreement, damaged the peace process, brought in Brexit because he used it as a vehicle for his personal ambition to end up in Downing Street, conducted a campaign of lies, which unfortunately a majority of the British public bought, doesn't give a damn about Northern Ireland. So yes, government buildings and Ivy House now looking very, very, with great concern, I think, of what's going to happen. It looks, just looking at it at the moment, it looks as if we're going to be stuck with perhaps a Brexit hardliner? Now, we don't know, because a lot of people are entering the race. It'll sort itself out in time. A lot of them are unknowns. One of the people that the government would not want is the Foreign Secretary, Liz Truss. She is reported to have a very, very bad relationship with our own Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney. Now, in a lot of opinion polls, she's coming in very high in terms of public support, and she's popular with the Tory grassroots. So you don't know. That would be a nightmare scenario for the government. There are others. For instance, Jeremy Hunt, who was sacked by Johnson, he was a strong Remainer.
Former Secretary of Health Secretary.
That's right. Yeah, and he was sacked. He could be a dark horse if he enters the race, in the sense that he might be outside the Johnson clique and might have an appeal for that reason, but we don't know yet. We've had, of course, the appointment of an Ordnance Secretary, Shailesh Varan. I think when his name was mentioned, the people of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Government Buildings started Googling, who in the name of God is this man? He apparently spent 5 months as a junior minister in the Northern Ireland office in 2018. By the way, is a hardline Brexiteer, although I do notice he's tweeting this morning saying that he's had a very, very good telephone chat with Simon Coveney, but he would say that. Now, he may not last, of course, in the job, because a new Prime Minister may decide to move him and put somebody else in there. But what happens is hugely important for us.
Now, another factor is that whatever about the possibility of the British government softening their position on Brexit and on the North and on the Northern Ireland Protocol, that's not likely, though, because the next Prime Minister, the next leader of the Conservatives, will be decided by members of the Conservative Party. They are generally more right-wing. They are generally more hardcore Brexiteer than even the MPs themselves.
That's right, absolutely. And whoever's running, whoever's a candidate, would be trying to appeal to that vote. Hence, Brexit remains Brexit. Interesting as well that the leader of the Labour Party during the week, while he wants to work Brexit for the benefit of the British people, etc., etc., he's not talking about a new referendum. He's clearly as well trying to keep up with the public mood. It was interesting this week to see Tory grandees like Michael Heseltine, strongly pro-Europe. He was John Major's deputy prime minister, challenged Thatcher for the leadership back in the day. He came out and he was scathing about Boris Johnson. Now, Johnson has taken the conservative seat that Johnson has. Actually, he succeeded Heseltine. And Heseltine was scathing about Johnson, unfit for public office, a man with no sense of integrity. John Major taking the unprecedented step for a former British Prime Minister to write to the 1922 committee and say
these are the Tory backbenchers. That's the
indeed very powerful group, very, very powerful group, and saying this man can't even stay on as a caretaker Prime Minister. So it's pretty bleak if you look at it, but we await to see what happens in terms of the leadership.
Now, a few comments coming in that you don't think, well, first of all, you don't think anyone wants a general election at the moment. This is on foot of Sinn Féin putting down a motion of no confidence in the government that's likely to take place next week. A few views on this. Someone says, pure opportunism by Sinn Féin. There's enough turmoil across the water without making things worse here. Another person says, Sinn Féin can only operate in opposition. They have no interest in being in power. However, Joan Milltown says, Michael is away with the fairies. Everyone wants an election. So some reaction to that. Now, Leo Varadkar, this week, the DPP said there would be no prosecution taken against him on foot of the Taoiseach, the then Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, giving confidential state documents to a friend of his who was in charge or was part of a doctor's group that was in opposition to another doctor's group, the IMO, a number of years ago. This was the confidential documents related to the IMO, so they were being passed on to a rival organisation. What's your response? How do you read it? It clears the way for him to become Taoiseach again in December as part of the coalition agreement?
Absolutely. That clears the way for Leverat to become Taoiseach, and Micheál Martin to become Tánaiste. It was hanging over Leo Varadkar, used by the opposition, as oppositions do. If roles are reversed, I'm sure the parties in government do the same. But it's now clear. And what we now have a political timetable, really. We have the budget in September, ahead of the normal time, a very critical occasion for the government. We have then into December, we have the move, we have the changeover, Tánaiste and Taoiseach. And also, of course, at that particular time, will we see a reshuffle that has been promised by Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, which is, makes the group of Fianna Fáil TDs, Tresa, meeting this week, the 30 TDs and senators who met this week to consider the party's image and policy and all that kind of thing, hugely significant. Because some of those in that room this week will be hoping for promotion from Micheál Martin in that reshuffle. Likewise, Fine Gael backbenchers looking for promotion. But after December, all bets will be off, because then there will be no more ministerial jobs unless, you know, there's a vacancy somewhere or other.
And about that meeting of Fianna Fáil TDs, they were rather discombobulated when the government chief whip and junior sports minister Jack Chambers just happened to walk into that room with his special advisor, and he told them that he was checking if the TV was working for the later parliamentary party meeting.
Yeah, as good an excuse as any, I suppose. I'm sure when he discovered the television was working, he took a quick look around the room to take a mental note of the names and report back to Micheál Martin. Micheál Martin, of course, in Ukraine at the time. So the timing would, I'm sure, is making Micheál Martin a little edgy, although apparently he did ring some of those TDs and in a very conciliatory tone asked them what is up. Now, some of them were saying privately after the meeting, look, this is not about the leadership, this is about the image of Fianna Fáil and how we will do in the next election and how things are going in terms of policy. That. But Micheál Martin will be a little put out, I think, by the fact that his own 1922 committee of backbenchers were meeting quite even.
And Michael, finally, the budget. It's going to be happening now to September 27th.
That's right. Confirmed this week. This is a tightrope for the government, because they're going to have a certain amount of fiscal rectitude that's required, but they're also going to have to meet a cost of living crisis. And, you know, some of the economic commentary during the week showed just how just the scale of the economic tightrope we're walking on at the moment. 10 big firms now contribute €1 in every 8 of total tax revenue by way of corporation tax. And with fears of an international recession, of course, and a lower corporate contribution to the economy. Also, it's more dearer now to buy money to get loans abroad. I mean, we were very lucky during the pandemic in that the interest rates were low. That's changing.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's that awful, awful spectre of an increase in inflation. So between now and September, this government has to really do the books very carefully,
Michael,
while meeting social need.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why you're saying at the start of the programme, highly unlikely there'll be an election at this stage. Michael, we'll leave it there. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. Kerry women take on Armagh tomorrow. And of course, Kerry take on the Dubs in the men's semi-final on Sunday. You have a great weekend. We'll catch up soon. News at 10 on the way.